Welcome to r/, a podcast where I read the best posts from across Reddit. Today's subreddit is r/ProRevenge, where OP ruins his toxic boss's career. Our next Reddit post is from Pinkfied. This took place in Australia. About 15 years ago, I ran a small, successful beauty salon as a young 20-something woman. We rented a large space in the building from a very elderly gentleman who let us do anything we wanted to the place as long as we paid our rent on time. We put lots of money into improvements inside, built new rooms and redecorated, and he was thrilled with the new look. He eventually sold the building to a cocky, late-30s, smarmy businessman, as he called himself, who immediately raised the rent. No problem, business is business, but right from the start, he had an attitude with all the female-run businesses. And he would constantly belittle us and make comments about how we didn't know business like he did. His favorite insult was to call us bimbos. Okay, I want to take a quick break in this story and ask all my Australian viewers, does bimbos in Australia have the same context as bimbos in America? Because calling someone a bimbo in America is pretty insulting. I mean, I know that in Australia people throw around the C word pretty liberally, so I'm not sure if bimbo has quite the same sting as it does over here. Anyways, back to the story. We didn't really care about what he had to say in all honesty. We made our money off of being attractive bimbos, as he liked to say, and he was a gross old dude with a monobrow, so we didn't pay him any mind. A few months after the purchase, a massive construction project took place right near our building, restricting access and limiting the number of clients we could take due to the parking. The construction pretty much eliminated walk-in clients, because who would want to go to a salon when there's jackhammering going on right across the road? The new owner gave us 14 days notice that he was raising the rent yet again. We knew this wasn't legal, so we pushed back, and we got a tirade of abuse that he was a businessman, and you're just bimbos who don't know the law. At this time, our lease was up for renewal in about 3 months. We asked for a 1-year renewal of our lease, which he refused. I guess he thought that he could bluff us? He said that we could sign for 3 years at the much higher rent rate or screw off. So we chose the latter. With plenty of notice, we advised in writing that we didn't intend on renewing our lease. And he hurled abuse at us yet again, saying that he would have it rented out in no time and we would regret it. We moved a 5-minute drive away to a better location for about half the rent, and the place is actually still thriving today. Although I've since sold my share and moved on to other things. During the last month of our lease, the landlord would bring prospective tenants to the property day and night. He would even open the doors while our clients were in the middle of treatments and let the prospective tenants look around. Fortunately, due to the construction next door, we didn't have too many clients, but the noise drove every possible tenant away without us even having to say a word. The landlord had advertised the property, including many of the additions we'd made. However, we had it in writing from the original landlord that all those upgrades were to be removed and the shop was returned to its original state, which was just 4 bare walls at the end of our lease. So that's what we did. We began to strip the place of the rooms that we had built and move our stuff to our new salon. We took hundreds of photos for evidence and began setting up our business at the new location. Well, to say the landlord was furious would be an understatement. He got a lawyer to write us a letter demanding compensation for the destruction of his property. We referenced our contract, which specified a building of X size with 4 walls. We were still bound by our original lease that we had signed with the lovely old landlord. And no new lease had been entered into with Mr. Businessman. I offered for him to pay us just half the cost of the materials, and we would leave the addition standing. He laughed in my face and told me that he wouldn't pay a dollar and that he would sue me for every dollar I made so hard that my grandkids would be paying off my debt. He was a charming bloke. We showed him our agreement with the original landlord that all changes need to be removed and that this agreement would stand unless another was made and agreed to by the tenant and landlord at a later date. We stripped that place bare. We didn't even leave a single shelf on the walls. We cleaned it until it sparkled. He then got his lawyer to write another letter saying that we didn't give enough notice and were required to pay another 3 years of rent. I said, "Show us the contract where we agreed to this." He then sent us a copy of our email where we requested a 1-year contract and an invoice for the rent for that period. Well, I said that he never agreed to that and we never signed a contract for that either. This went back and forth, getting nastier and more ridiculous. He was obsessed. I decided it was time to get some revenge and hit him where it hurts, his pocket. Every communication I got from his solicitor, I made sure was sent to me in registered post. I would often respond to only part of his letter, requiring his lawyer to send another letter to follow up. I was a bimbo after all, right? I couldn't be expected to answer more than one question at a time. So I would respond to each letter by email, but require a registered letter acknowledging receipt of my email. His lawyer was more than happy to oblige. More billable charges to his client. The more petty the landlord got, the more petty I became in my responses. Don't even try to out-bimbo a bimbo, mate. Our landlord had, at this time, also refused to refund our bond, claiming that he hadn't had time to do a final inspection. So we lodged a claim with the appropriate ombudsman, and of course, the landlord came back with a laundry list of fake damage claims. Luckily, we had our photos to prove that he was full of garbage, and he had to return our bond in full. By this stage, we had been out of that place for about 7 months now, and we were doing great at our new location. In that whole time, he couldn't get anyone to rent that place due to the construction, even after reducing the rent 3 times. He had spent so much money on lawyer fees and failing to collect rent that he had to sell the building and his wife filed for divorce. We found this out when the daughter of the lovely original owner called us to tell us the sad news that he had passed away. He had always loved us girls, and we would always spoil him if he came to visit and fuss over him with coffee and biscuits and give him his favorite treatment of a hand massage. The daughter was a friend with Mr. Businessman's wife, and she gave us all the gossip. It took the new nasty owner another 18 months to sell the building, and all the while it sat empty and he didn't collect a penny in rent. Guess he shouldn't have played chicken with the bimbos after all. We were actually pretty happy there, and we probably would have stayed if he hadn't decided to prove that we were so inferior. So, if you ever read this, suck it, Costa. Long live the bimbos. What? This guy's name was Costa, as in cost a lot of money? Our next Reddit post is from A Quiet Borderline. Years ago, back when my Uncle Dale and Dad were university students, their engineering professor came to their class with a problem that needed solving. His mailbox was getting broken by someone driving by every night. He and his wife had put up something like 4 or 5 mailboxes, and all 4 or 5 times, the mailbox had been knocked over by someone driving a red truck. This professor offered extra credit to any group of students who could come up with a truck-proof mailbox that not only fit the city regulations, but also came in under a budget of $20, which back then was a good-sized chunk of change. Well, if anyone here knows anything about engineers, as my dad puts it, they love solving problems. And if it's engineering students, they'll make it an experience to remember. My dad and Uncle Dale got together and got to work. They found a steel bar that fit within mailbox regulations and filled the inside with a mixture of concrete and steel rebars. Once the concrete had dried, they welded 8 rebars to the sides of the bar, bent them in half, and stuck them inside a bucket. To add extra weight, they filled the bucket with the heaviest rocks they could find. As a finishing touch, they painted it brown and black to make it look like wood. And they put the ugliest mailbox we could find on sale on the top, welding it down for good measure. Well, more like dragged it into class because it was so heavy. They told their professor to bury the bucket where the mailbox stood. Since they were the first to turn in their project, the professor agreed to give it a try. That night, the professor and his wife were awoken by a loud metallic. They went outside, and wouldn't you know it, there was a red truck speeding away, and the mailbox still standing. At the base was a broken wooden baseball bat. 2 days later, the professor gets a bill in the mail for a hospital visit. It turns out that when the passenger hit the mailbox, he did some serious damage to his arm and shoulder. They were planning on suing the professor, but the professor hired a lawyer who basically told the plaintiffs, "You're just going to admit that you were vandalizing the mailbox multiple times," and that shut him up. To the best of my dad's knowledge, the mailbox is still standing. The other students who still brought in mailboxes had theirs gifted to different professors throughout town, and those are also still standing. Down in the comments, we have this story from Jabbertick. I have a similar accidental revenge story from my childhood. For reasons unknown, someone started hitting my parents' garbage cans with their car every week to knock them over. This was before there were readily available security cameras, and it happened at random times between 1 and 4 a.m. My parents stayed up trying to see who it was several times, but they never caught the culprits. They filed multiple police reports, but nothing was ever done. I can't remember exactly how long this happened for, but it was definitely for over a month. Then one week, after building a new shed, there was a garbage can full of construction debris. Remnants of 2x4s, cinder blocks, even some leftover cement from building support pillars. Back then, sanitation workers really just took anything you put in the can, so you can probably see where this is going. Around 3 a.m., we were awoken by the sound of a horrendous crash. We ran outside to see what had happened, and the car was nowhere to be seen. Our garbage can was still standing upright. There was half a bumper and pieces of smashed up headlights all over the ground. The driver never came back to reclaim their bumper, and for some strange reason, from that day forward, our trash cans were unmolested. So, if there's two things that reading r/ProRevenge has taught me, one, never cut down your neighbor's tree. Two, never run over your neighbor's mailbox. Our next Reddit post is from Mage Tomlin. For the past 18 months, I've been working from home. From a work perspective, this has been great. I've been more productive than when I'm at the office, I've been able to work more flexible hours, and I've saved a ton of money by not commuting. My workplace has an agreement that those working from home can do whatever hours they want, so long as we're able to answer urgent calls in core hours and we get all of our work done. Fair enough as far as I'm concerned. For the past 16 months, this has worked great. One day while working from home, I took a lunch break. I made a quick sandwich, and while I was doing it, I made a post on Facebook that I was giving away some items. I didn't know this at the time, but one of my managers from work was also signed up to that page, and he saw my post. Let's call this guy Ken. He then took it upon himself to go to the owner of the company and tell him that I was slacking off and posting on Facebook during work hours. For context, Ken wasn't my boss, nor was he complaining to my boss, but the owner of the company. We're a big business, so there's a bunch of people in the chain of command between me and the owner. And to top it all off, I'd been doing a lot of work for Ken, and he'd outsourced the running of entire projects to me over the last 18 months, all of which I'd executed well, and he'd taken ample credit for. Also, this was the only time in 18 months that I'd posted anything on Facebook, because I never post on Facebook. So the owner of the company contacted me, and to be fair, he's a decent guy. The conversation went like this. I've been told you're posting on Facebook during work hours. Just be smart about it. It doesn't look good when colleagues see it. I completely understand. Just so you know, I posted that during my lunch break. I was told you were posting at noon. As a quick side note, our company lunch break is usually 1 to 2 p.m. I did post at noon, but that's because when I work from home, I always take my lunch from 12 to 1. Okay, I don't have an issue with that. Just keep your head down. Like I said, he was a decent guy. I wasn't really in trouble, and the owner didn't seem to care, but then I started to think, wait, who the hell would go to the owner of the company with something like this in the first place? Long story short, a coworker who was working on site that day heard through the grapevine that Ken had been complaining to the owner about me and how I'm always on social media when I should be working. Cue petty revenge. As I said before, Ken likes to outsource work to me. I never minded this. The work was varied and it broke my week up. Plus, my own boss didn't mind because I always had my own work done on time. However, I never got recognition for this extra work. For 2 years, I managed a sub-department completely on my own because Ken didn't have enough time to do it himself. I didn't make a penny more for it, but it was a good group of people and I enjoyed getting management experience. Well, after this, every time Ken came to me with an issue, I would say that I was super swamped, but I tried to deal with it if I had time. The projects that he tried to outsource to me, I immediately rejected, saying that I had a full plate from my actual job. And as for that sub-department that I ran, well, we'll get to that. Over the next couple of months, Ken starts missing his deadlines, issues come up with existing projects that he hasn't fixed, and employees are complaining that every time they go to him with an issue, it doesn't get resolved. It dawns on me at this point that I've basically been doing this guy's job for him for years. F that. I set up a meeting with my boss and made the argument for why I should be promoted, and really why I should have been promoted ages ago. I pointed to all the projects that I'd successfully run, as well as the sub-department that I'd managed for 2 years. He completely agrees and says that he'll take it to his boss. Now, somehow, I don't know how, but when I got to the next meeting with my boss's boss, Ken is there too. Ken is on the same level in the company as my boss's boss. I'm a little phased, but I'm not willing to give up, and I make my arguments. Ken lets me finish, and then proceeds to tell me that I don't know enough about this type of work to be a manager. You don't have the required people skills. And then he tells me, verbatim, "Besides, people here don't respect you. They respect me. I know I'm a good manager. If you really think about it, you know that you wouldn't be." I forget what else was said after that, but I was completely destroyed. My boss's boss came to me afterwards and told me that Ken is a dick. But unfortunately, he's liked by the higher-ups, so what he says has too much sway for him to go against him. I tell my boss's boss that if that's the way it is, then I'm going to look for other employment. He sighs and says, "I don't blame you." Cue pro-revenge. During the time it took me to look for and apply to other jobs, I had time to think about how to get back at Ken. He'd used me for years, and now he was blocking my promotion. I had already stopped doing his job for him, and his work was going from bad to worse, but I needed something more. Now, this next part could be an entire post all on its own, but I put it in bullets for brevity. 1. I'm an accredited internal auditor for our quality systems. 2. I ask if I can be assigned a couple of last audits before I leave, to help them out. 3. I carry out these audits, and using my intimate knowledge of Ken's projects, find every single issue that I can. 4. A number of people also hate Ken and give me more dirt on him. 5. Someone gives me huge information that Ken has been forging signatures and bypassing multiple company procedures to make his key performance indicators look better. 6. I write up the report with tons of evidence attached and send it off. 7. The report gets flagged at the highest level because of what it shows. 8. Ken gets absolutely dragged over the coals. I wish I could say this story ends with Ken getting fired and him having to sell his body on the street for scraps, but he kept his job. However, I later found out that he was due for a massive promotion. As in, catapulted to the top of the company, running entire divisions. That never happened though. Between his declining numbers and that awful audit that showed all of his shortcomings, he was basically told that he'll never progress beyond where he is and that he's lucky to have a job at all. Ken still works there, and I'm told that his ego has been taken down a whole washing line worth of pegs. As for me, I'd love to say that I got a better job with a massive raise. That's half true. I decided to pursue my dream job in a totally different industry. All of my experience counted in my favor, and although I took a bit of a pay cut, I've never enjoyed work more. Oh, and as for that sub-department that I was running? They knew that when I left, Ken would be taking them over and running them again. So in my last month at the company, I gave them all tutorials on how to search for jobs and pass interviews. I've heard from a number of them since that they'd landed better jobs and thanked me in part for it. It's not a perfect ending, but I'm damned happy with it. OP, don't criticize your story too much. Any story where a worker gets back at their toxic boss is honestly better than porn. We've all had terrible bosses, and for the most part, you kind of just have to just nod your head, say, "Yes, sir," and just take it. But stories like these, where someone ruins their boss's promotion, I'd live for it. That was r/pro-revenge, and if you like this content, be sure to follow my podcast, because I put out new Reddit podcast episodes every single day.